You are listening to KHSU. I'm Wendy Butler, and this program is called Art Waves. Just about midway through April of 2017, the 50th Humboldt International Film Festival will take place Wednesday, April 19th through Sunday, April 22nd at Arcadis Minor Theater. Yes, you heard correctly. It's the 50th. And proud to call itself the oldest student-run film festival of its kind. My guests are the festival's three student co-directors, Nairobi's Apolito, Kira Hudson, and Andrew Weiss. All three are Humboldt State University seniors, and that is where we start our interview. The three of you, co-directors of the Humboldt International Film Festival, you are all seniors.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
And when we say that, are we talking two-year seniors, or mean, or is this it? Is May, is mid-May it?
May is it.
Yeah, we're all graduating.
It's over.
Oh. It's done.
But it will never really be over. So I'm going to start with Nairobi's. What are your aspirations following graduation, and do they connect with filmmaking?
Yes. I'm actually trying to get into filmmaking. I want to focus on lighting, but I know I'm going to have to start from the bottom as a production assistant and move my way up and make different connections with multiple people within the industry. I'm pretty excited about that step. I'm actually going to be moving from Humboldt back to Los Angeles to keep those connections going, keep the fresh ones, you know, going, and just try to move up the ladder that way.
Do you have some fresh connections?
I do. I recently worked on as a production assistant for the Disney film that came up here, Wrinkle in Time. So I got back in contact with them, and I'm just waiting to move back home in order to just get that ball rolling.
So that is exciting.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. And I've also worked as an office production assistant, and that's a lot of paperwork, a lot of calling people, immense organization. You just have to be on all the time. Yeah. So
it's as if you're an organizing arm.
Yeah.
They rely on that.
Yeah, and I feel like that's actually helped me a lot with organizing the film festival, because it's just like dipped into it.
And we're going to talk later on about your type of filmmaking, but that you're interested in doing. But I want to move over to Kira. Same thing, your aspirations following graduation in May.
Yeah, I'm still figuring it out right now. Most likely I'm going to be moving to New York City, because I have family there, and I feel like I should take advantage of that opportunity to live there for a little while and get known by some people. I'm also a dancer, so I really want to get into dance videography specifically, so hopefully I can mesh those two things together.
Are you also dancing while you're here at Humboldt State?
Yeah. I'm one of the presidents of the Swing Dancing Club, and I help teach the swing class and do dancing off campus too, so yeah.
And Andrew, same question for you, aspirations following graduation.
Oh gosh, it's same answer, just kind of winging it all the time. Really interested in maybe post-production though. I know my strength in production is like editing. And so, you know, once I get all those files, I know where to kind of put them a little bit and create a story. So I know I'm pretty good at it. So we're kind of finishing up our senior capstone, and Kira is one of our producers. So mm-hmm. We've been working very close this semester. Yeah. So
what does that mean, senior capstone?
It's our kind of like our final project. Like the seniors in their film 4 class, it's their production class, and they just have like the whole semester. They're just creating this one big project pretty much. It takes the whole semester. And so
editing, I want to talk more about that as well, because of the incredible impact an editor has in the telling of a story.
It's different, especially within like the last like 10 years alone. It's changed, and you know, technology, it changes like every minute, quite literally. So Even like in here, I'm sure you'll have new computers in a month or so. No.
Film Fest class. This is a class. It's not just it's not a club. It's a class that people take for credit. Is that right? Or how?
They can take it for credit, but they can also just join the club and come every Thursday to screen films. But yeah, you can take it for credit or for the club.
Well, how does it work? It's a total semester class. Is that right? So how does it work? Like, let's start with the beginning and go through a little bit of what you're responsible for as class participants.
Mm-hmm. Well, for the first half of the semester, we're mostly focusing on on screening the films. And this year I was the entries person. So I was in charge of viewing the films before I showed them to the class to check if they had triggers or anything. I would write them in the ballots.
Oh, I have to ask you this, Nairobi's. I have to ask about triggers.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Triggers. So strobing lights can, you know, for people who have epilepsy or people who, that's one of the triggers for a migraine. There's also a trigger for, you know, violence, sexual assault. There's basically, you know, a trigger for every little thing, but I just focus on the big ones that are very prominent within the film, and I write that down next to the name of the film in the ballot, just to warn the students in case they have one of those triggers. So,
okay, so you do that, mm-hmm. And then what else happens?
So since it's an event planning class, the two semesters are kind of different. So in the fall, we screen a lot of films for the most part. And then this spring, now we're transitioning out of watching films and we have students doing separate tasks. So each student will work with one of us or multiple of us to complete these tasks. Like, I'm working on the commemorative program, so we have articles about the film festival and about the minor and a lot of content that goes into that. So I sent students out to go do interviews for me and write things and find pictures and stuff like that. And then whatever Nairobi's and Andrew need help with, they've been working on too.
I usually ask students to screen films with me and help me do the list for the triggers. And also, I have to do a lot of data entry, and it requires a lot of time in order for me to be able to select the finalist, because it's all on this really, really big Excel spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. So with formulas and everything, so we have to be very precise when we're entering the data.
What do you do, Andrew?
Promotion. So kind of getting the word out to, you know, the public and everything, hitting the community calendars and making sure our posters are getting out and, you know, especially our social network. And so that's definitely one of my strengths. You know, I'm just trying to get the word out. So right now we're trying to run our selection at the moment. So we've got graphics of the films that have been selected. Or this year we're doing a little differently. We're going to put the trailers on our social network as well. Mm-hmm. So.
Now, does it work where the class votes on screens or on films that are going to be selected and then given to the judges?
So the class, we give them a ballot, and it has four categories within the ballot on how they judge it. So one of them is creativity/originality. The other one is technical quality, emotional reaction, and the last one is...
I know what it is. Yeah. It's how does this story make sense?
Yeah.
Right. I forget what
it is. So, and then it's on a scale from 1 to 5. And they circle whichever one they like. And so then after that, I enter the data, and that's how I choose the films to present to the film festival, and that's when the judges see those films.
So the judges don't choose the films that are going to be presented at the festival?
No. This is all the student process of the whole festival.
How many films are being presented that you've chosen?
32.
Okay, so yeah. 32 films, and how is it divided in terms of narrative, animation, experimental, documentary?
We have a 2-hour limit. that we have. So we're
like approximately how many narrative do we have?
Approximately, I would say
or,
eight.
Or for
about
sure,
eight. For sure, we have eight narratives.
How many do we have that are it's animation, experimental, or sharing one category?
Yes.
Right. How many do we have?
So for animation, we have eight, and for experimental, we have nine.
And how about documentary?
We have seven.
And all of those in collectively total 32.
32, yes.
32 films. How are you dividing it? And, well, I'm looking at it. So on Wednesday, April 19th, the animation and experimental will happen. And then Thursday, the 20th, documentary. Friday, the 21st, narrative night. Saturday, the 22nd, Best of the Fest. Sunday, the 23rd, encore matinee screening of Best of the Fest.
Yes.
Right? And now for the Wednesday through Friday, you're having double screenings. Mm-hmm. So how is that working?
Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. The first screening is always going to be in the main show, the main big screen at the Minor Theater. It starts at 7 o'clock, and then that's the one where the judges will be attending. They're going to be there with the clipboard and their criteria, like what they're going to be looking for in the film, and like what they enjoy or technical and all this other stuff. That's the first showing, and then if you miss it, they're sold out or something like that, we do have a second showing Wednesday through Friday at 8 o'clock in a smaller theater, also at the Minor, and then you can also go see that one as well. That one, the second screening, does not have the judges though, but I mean we're going to be there around, and so you'll probably run into them or something like that if you want to do like a
run into a judge.
It's possible. It's a small town.
After each night of screening, they have to deliberate to see which film is going to make it to the Best of Best.
Are the judges going to do any kind of talk back? Any kind of Q&A?
After the first screening, they will open like kind of the floor for Q&A. So anyone that might be interested, including the community, will have that open to ask.
It will be brief because they do have another film showing afterward.
Yeah, we have an after party for the judges, and people are welcome to come to that. That's going to be at the Miniplex at Richard's Goat. So that's after the night of the first screening of Best of Fest. We're all going to head over there. So you can come ask questions and hang out with the judges there if you like.
So that's Saturday, April 22nd, after the Best of the Fest.
Yes.
Richard's Goat.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so after, that'll probably be at about...
9:30.
Yeah.
9:30 or 10.
Kira Hudson, Nairobi's Apolito, and Andrew Weiss, co-directors of the 50th Humboldt International Film Festival, which opens next Wednesday, April 19th, at the Minor Theater in Arcata. I'm Wendy Butler, and you are listening to Art Waves on KHSU. We begin the second segment with a discussion about this year's festival judges. One judge is John Adeyeji.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And John was formerly a co-director of the film festival, and I met him at that time and interviewed him at that time. I believe it was for one of the print publications I was working for at the time. And so your other judge is Tracy Boyd. And you have a third one, Patricia Cardoso. Let's start with Patricia Cardoso and go backwards with that. Feature film, Real Women Have Curves.
Yes.
Won the Sundance Film Festival Audience Award in 2002 and was televised on HBO. And probably a lot of people have heard of or have seen Real Women Have Curves.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Tracy, now Patricia is not... did not graduate from Humboldt State University, was not involved in the running of the film festival. But Tracy Boyd was a co-director.
Mm-hmm. He was actually a co-director with John.
With John of the 33rd Humboldt International Film Festival.
Yep. Yeah. Yes, and that's when he met Alexander Payne, who was one of the judges at the time.
I don't know why I'm pointing at myself and saying nothing. Alexander Payne, I interviewed.
Oh, no way.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And like I was saying, I think before we started recording, just over the past 50 festivals, so many either well-known or up-and-coming directors, producers, cinematographers have come through Humboldt State University as judges for this film festival. So it's been exciting.
Yeah,
what exciting opportunity for festival goers and also for students.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who can, you know, talk. They've come through here and they've held classes and they've, you know, reached out in so many different ways.
Yes. So he made a connection with Alexander Payne, and he...
You mean Tracy?
Yeah, Tracy Boyd, at the film festival as a co-director, and he's been working with him ever since. So he's actually his first AD on his...
Might be second, I'm not sure.
I think first or second AD on one of...
But ongoing.
Ongoing, yeah. So it's been a really, quite a relationship, so...
Yeah. So it's really cool for the students to be able to go to the film festival and meet these people, especially this year because we have two former students from HSU, because they can kind of, a lot of us are about to graduate and go out into the actual industry, and so they can talk about that transition out of school into the real world.
It's a great networking opportunity for, you know, any major. You know, in arts, dance, film, any kind of major. So.
Yeah. And they will be coming and talking to some of the classes here.
So John Adiaji has been booked to speak with the African-American...
of Excellence?
African-American Center for Excellence. So he's going to have a panel there on, I believe, Thursday at noon. I'm not sure of the location yet, but he's been booked for that. We've been approached from the Latinx Center to book Patricia Cardoso, so they're just branching off and also just trying to broaden their areas.
Right, Their outreach while they're here on campus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do want to talk about the films themselves that have been selected.
I feel for the whole narrative category, there are a lot of raw elements that the directors are presenting to the audience. Like, they're not holding back with their
expression.
Not their expression. They're not holding back with their.
Their emotion, their passion, their...
Their subject.
Their subject. Their,
okay. Yeah.
Oh,
so
okay.
With their content.
Intensity.
Their content is raw. They're trying to get a reaction out of the audience, and I feel like the whole narrative category is just kind of pushing the boundaries of how the audience is going to feel, if they're going to... Like, they're going to be a little uncomfortable, but it's just the reality of what's going on in the world.
Well, can you tell any more about the stories?
We're definitely looking at some sexuality.
Okay.
We're also looking at a sense of consumerism and relationships between people who are consumers. I think you know which one I'm talking about.
They're looking at a title. We will not name it.
We are definitely looking at some kind of child violence or just domestic violence in some of the films.
Are these films from United States or from other parts of the world? Where are some of the other parts of the world?
Not all of them. We have one in particular that's actually from Israel.
The one you're talking about, or you didn't really talk about, but one of the narrative?
Yes, one
from
of the
narratives.
Yeah.
So. We also have a couple animation that are also touching on domestic violence. Mm-hmm. So they're not all just happy, playful animations.
What sort of animation techniques are you noticing that are happening? I mean, you know,
We have quite a bit. We have one where it's all computer animation and it's very well done. It's mm-hmm. to an audiovisual kind of thing. And then we have claymation. Claymation's still around.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see that much.
We have some stop motion as well.
Yeah.
And so we have quite a bit of variety. And so mm-hmm. kind of broadens the spectrum of like what defines an animation exactly. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Experimental.
We've actually gotten quite a few pretty good ones this year. It was they're very deep, very, I would want to say, like, emotionally dark, kind of heavy, and they make you. I mean, I discussed a particular experimental film with Andrew, and he got a completely different. He had a completely different take on.
I think it was one thing, and Nairobi's thought it was a totally different thing, and so it's kind of interesting how these films are—they make you think.
Is this an experimental that is propelled through music? Is there talking in it?
No.
Can you tell any more about it?
This experimental is silent.
So it's color. Is the color?
It's black and white.
It's black and white.
Yeah, it's black and white. Silent.
Are they live action images that you're seeing?
No, it's acted out, but it just has these underlying tones of, is this like representation of oneself? Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah.
Wow.
So
is it United States or another part of the world?
That one I think is from United States.
I think that one is from United States. So we have submissions from Switzerland, Bangladesh, Germany, Brazil, Australia, France, Israel. We have some from Japan, Mexico, Austria. We have a variety of films. India, China. Yeah, so it's pretty diverse.
Nairobi's, you want to mainly, do you have a type of filmmaking you would like to get into?
I think I would want, I really enjoy narrative. So that's kind of the route I'm trying to go through.
And that makes sense because you were a production assistant on Wrinkle in Time.
Yes.
Narrative
mm-hmm.
film.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd like to do more. Would you like to be behind the camera? Would you like to direct?
I wouldn't like to direct or write. That's not what I want to do. I actually want to bring other people's work to life. I want to focus on lighting and just creating the atmosphere for the story. So,
and how about you, Kira?
For me, I want to work more with documentaries or really short pieces that are narratives, but they can be understood across different cultures, if that makes sense.
Well, understood across many cultures, so maybe ones that don't rely on dialogue?
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of dialogue at all. So the films that I've been making on my own outside of school are more for nonprofits that I believe in their mission and I want to help them out. So similar to Nairobi's, where I don't want to necessarily like write or direct, but I want to bring what people are doing to make a change in the world. I want to bring that to life and share it with other people.
And Andrew, yes. What would you like to focus on in terms of filmmaking?
Probably narratives. Narratives, you have definitely like that script just going into production, so you know exactly like what you kind of want in a film. And so documentary, you can make a lot of like variety of different documentaries. Sometimes it's hard to find that actual story because you still want to have like that 3-point story arc, and sometimes it's hard to accomplish that in a documentary, whereas a narrative you can be creative and make it your own. So
what does film do that other forms of art just cannot do?
It collects all the arts into one. And just, yeah. It's a big showcase of all the different things you can do with art and music and acting. Just everything is incorporated into one story, and it can be viewed by any person, you know, all around the world. It's...
Yeah, like throughout history and especially today, though, like Nai was just saying, it's bringing a lot of different art forms together with the music and the visuals and movement. And especially today, people's minds move so much quicker and they want things faster. And so film can hold people's attention longer, I feel, and get a message across in like if you look online and you'll see those 30-second videos where they tell a short story or they get a message across. That's what film can do. I hope that made sense.
Yeah, totally. Andrew, what are your thoughts about that?
I kind of have to agree with all of them. I'm just thinking of like all the arts that offer at HSU. You got like, you know, music and art in general, theater arts, and it's like, it's exactly what Nairobi said. It's a combination of all of them. You're starting from the base as like, you know, a story, and then you make an image out of it, and you, you know, and you have your actors, you know, helping the create that image, and then you have the music to create that emotion to, you know, build that. You know,
it's universal, just like music, you know, photography. One still can change a person's view.
You are all co-directing a festival that is twice as old as you are.
It's a lot of pressure.
How does that feel, though? I mean, being part of something that has lasted this long.
It's super exciting, to be quite honest. Be like the 50th, like the golden year of, you know, being running that. It's a lot of fun, and it's a lot of pressure, I'm not going to lie, because I feel like everyone's looking down on us, but I'm really excited to show what we've got this year. So
It's very exciting, a lot of pressure, very scary, because, you know, we want to leave a good... we want to leave with a bang, but we also want to, you know, make way for the new co-directors to make their mark.
Nairobi's Abuelito, Andrew Weiss, and Kira Hudson, Humboldt State University seniors, and the student co-directors of the 50th Humboldt International Film Festival. All takes place at Arcata's Minor Theater, double screenings each night. The schedule, again, is Wednesday, April 19th, Animation and Experimental Night. Thursday the 20th, Documentary Night. Friday the 21st is Narrative Night. Saturday, April 22nd is Best of Fest. And there will be an encore Best of Fest matinee screening on Sunday, April 23rd. Tickets at the Minor or its website, minortheater.com. Advanced purchase, highly recommended. The screening schedule is available on the Minor's website and also on the festival website, and that's hsufilmfestival.com. A special event ahead of the festival titled Throwback Thursday will be held this Thursday, April 13th at 7:30 p.m. at the Minor Theater, and the event will be 10 films from the 49th Humboldt International Film Festival. I'm Wendy Butler, and I produce Art Waves for KHSU at Humboldt State University. You can listen to the regular broadcast each Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. You can listen online anytime at khsu.org. You can download Art Waves podcasts from iTunes. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned to KHSU.
Yes, please do stay tuned to KHSU. This is we, broadcasting from Humboldt State University since 1960. KHSU and KHSU HD 90.5 Arcata, KHSR 91.9 Crescent City, and KHSG 89.9 Garberville. Donors include Crush in Arcata. Crush offers 30 wines by the glass, an expanded beer selection, trivia on Thursdays, and sports and political events on flat-screen TVs. There are also small plates and soups. Crush is located at 11th and H Streets in downtown Arcata. Learn more at crusharcata.com. And support comes from Arcata Artisans Cooperative Gallery on the Plaza, offering locally made fine art and craft, gifts, and art cards. This April, the gallery features the work of Patricia Sennett and Diane Sonderegger. Artist reception is Friday, April 14th from 6 to 9. Also, world-renowned glass artist George Bouquet has joined the cooperative. Arcata Artisans, never not local. More at arcataartisans.com.